Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chava Baja, and I just want to go ahead and start by apologizing because I did not post an episode last week. Unfortunately, my voice, for some reason, went away, and I was not able to talk or even vocalize most of my words. You can still hear it in my voice right now, but I am able to talk a little better. So just a little heads up as to why my voice keeps going in and out. But anyways, we have a lot to talk about. The trade deadline was this last Thursday, February 10th. So we are really just going to go over some of the trades and really the winners and losers of the NBA trade deadline. So the trade that was the most anticipated and most looked out for really since the playoffs ended last season, was the Ben Simmons trade, and it finally got done. As you know, there was a lot of speculation about a Ben Simmons for James Harden trade, and what do you know, that is what happened. So let me go over the trade here. So Ben Simmons ends up going to the Nets. Along with Ben Simmons, the Nets also get Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a 2022 first-round pick, and a 2027 first-round pick. In exchange, the Sixers get James Harden and Paul Millsap. So what's really interesting to me is, you know, Daryl Morey was able to get it done. He was stubborn about it, but he got it done, and in the end, he got a really good player, James Harden. What is a little funny to me, though, is that Daryl Morey, it kept getting reported that Daryl Morey wanted this huge return for Ben Simmons. You know, said that he wanted a star player. He wanted multiple picks. And in the end, he's the one that ended up giving two first-round picks. But yeah, really the winner of this trade, in my opinion, is Brooklyn. You know, that is if Ben Simmons is able to play. And if he's good, you know, if he's still the same Ben Simmons and he's able to play, then that's a win-win. You know, Brooklyn gets that defense that they've really been needing. Right now, Brooklyn has lost 11 games in a row. Of course, Kevin Durant is out with that injury. He's still out for a couple of weeks at least. He will not be participating in the All-Star game, obviously. So right now, it's really just been Brooklyn, depending on Kyrie Irving in away games, obviously, because Kyrie Irving still is not vaccinated and therefore cannot play in New York. Now, he is playing the away games, but as you can see, it's not really impacting wins. So Brooklyn now has a player in Ben Simmons that, you know, once he comes back, he is able to play in all games, home and away. But also, really, the underrated part of this trade was Seth Curry. Seth Curry, really, in my opinion, was the second best offensive player in Philadelphia. I mean, he's beloved. He's a great teammate. Incredible three-point shooter, actually better than Steph. And he has just been on a roll all season long. He has been really dependable. So Brooklyn getting that in the trade is really good. Also, like I said, Brooklyn also receives Andre Drummond from the Sixers, which is also a really nice sweetener in the deal for Brooklyn. Brooklyn right now has no size other than Nick Claxton. So for Brooklyn to get that size, get that big body in there, he can get rebounds. You know, he can protect the rim, even though Andre Drummond isn't known for his defense. At least he can be right there clogging the lane. And, you know, that way it's not just like a free, you know, open highway for, you know, opposing teams. So yeah, and obviously the 2022 first round pick from Philadelphia, as well as the 2027. Now, these Sixers, as I said, they get James Harden and Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap has had a really disappointing season. You know, just not what the Nets were hoping for when they signed him. But so the Sixers get James Harden, who has not really been, you know, the James Harden that, you know, we're all used to. You know, he's still a really good player, but still, you know, he's not that guy right now. You know, he has just been struggling. Obviously, he was coming back from that hamstring injury that just seemed to loom. But yeah, right now this season, he's played 44 games. In those 44 games, he has averaged 22.5 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists, and he's shooting 41.4% from the field, 33% from three-point land, 86.9% from the from the free throw line. So, you know, it's not really the James Harden that we're used to. Now, another part about this, really another positive for Brooklyn when it comes to this trade is that, one, they got rid of James Harden, who, you know, was obviously, reports say he wasn't happy in Brooklyn and he wanted to leave, blah, blah, blah. But another thing is that James Harden is up for an extension this offseason. Now, it is said that, well, he is going to sign that extension with Philadelphia, it's already reported. But the problem with that being, it's going to be around a $250 million deal. Or actually, I think it's $230, excuse me. But that means that at 38 years old, right now James Harden is 33. That means if he signs this extension, Supermax, James Harden is going to be getting paid $62 million when he's 38 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I would be really hesitant to make that move if I was the Sixers. Well, really, if I was the Nets. And I think that that's really what made Brooklyn finally decide, yeah, let's go ahead and make this trade. You know, paying that much money to a guy who's going to be that old, but not only that, James Harden has regressed. Not only that, he has been injury prone. In this last almost 2 years, his health has not been as reliable. His numbers have gone down. So this, just from that aspect, I think that this was a really positive thing for Brooklyn. Now the Sixers, they are going to have James Harden alongside Joel Embiid. Now that, if James Harden is the James Harden we know, that is going to be a really scary team to play. I mean, theoretically, the starting lineup for Philadelphia, it's going to be Tyrese Maxey, it's going to be James Harden, Tobias Harris. It's going to be probably Danny Green along with Joel Embiid. Now, that is a really scary lineup. Just imagine the pick and rolls going on with James Harden and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid is already having a fantastic season. You know, he has been the MVP so far this season. So him with Harden, that is just going to be really fun to watch. And like I said, you know, if Harden is the Harden we know, the Sixers are instant contenders. Now, this season, Joel Embiid is averaging 29.5 points with 11.2 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and a PER of 31.86, which, believe it or not, is only the second best PER. Nikola Jokic has that first PER, which is actually the best PER ever in NBA history. But anyways, I digress. So yeah, Joel Embiid and James Harden is going to be really good. Now, one thing that has been really underrated when it comes to this trade as well is Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey has really been handling the ball this season for the Sixers. and well, really well. So what does this mean for Max? James Harden is obviously a ball dominant guy. He needs the ball in his hands. He's not really he's not a very good off the ball player at all. So Tyrese Maxey is really going to not have the ball as much. And, you know, down the line, is that going to affect, you know, his happiness and Phil? But yeah, this is going to be a really fun one. I cannot wait to see the matchup between Philadelphia and Brooklyn, which is going to happen on March the 10th. Now, will Ben Simmons play that game? To be determined. As we know, it was reported that Ben Simmons was having mental illness problems, battling with depression and so on and so forth. How legitimate that is, I don't even like saying that. I don't like questioning it because mental illness is obviously a very serious topic. But it is a little, you know, the way that they've been reporting Ben Simmons and his mental issues has been questionable, and not just by me, but by everyone. Everyone's wondering how legitimate that is, and if he was just using that to push on a trade, or for saying, I can't play because of this, so I should get paid, because as I'm sure everyone knows, Ben Simmons has been fined about $20 million this season because he hasn't played. So the theory is that he was using mental issues. And because of those mental issues, he was claiming that he couldn't play. And if you have a legitimate reason, then they're going to keep paying you. Obviously, if you're just not wanting to play just because you don't want to play, that's when they start fining you and taking your salary. So Ben Simmons was reportedly basically using the mental issues so that he could still get paid while not playing. But anyway, so that Ben Simmons saga is over in Philly. It's a new day. Joel Embiid and Harden is going to be really fun. Brooklyn is going to be super fun. Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant are going to be a really fun matchup to watch. And really, you know, the beauty about this for Ben Simmons is that his role in Brooklyn, no one's going to expect him to score. There's no pressure on him to score. You know, he's got the best scorer ever in NBA history in Kevin Durant. He's got Seth Curry. He's got Kyrie Irving. So Ben Simmons does not have to worry about that. He just has to worry about defense, rebound, some playmaking. So he's going to be really fun to watch in Brooklyn. And I just really hope that this works out for both teams, because if it does, this is going to be really fun to watch in the Eastern Conference. So that is the Brooklyn and Philly trade. Moving on to the second biggest trade during the deadline is a trade done by my Dallas Mavericks. I am not happy with this trade. But anyways, so the Mavericks sent Kristaps Porzingis to the Washington Wizards. And in return, the Wizards sent the Mavs Spencer Dinwiddie and Tavis Bertans. And the Mavericks also sent a 2022 second round pick. So that is Washington gets Kristaps Porzingis and a 2022 second round pick. Dallas gets Spencer Dinwiddie and Tavis Bertans. Now, it is known that Porzingis' value was not high at all. But still, as a Mavericks fan, I am appalled that this is all Dallas could get for Porzingis. Porzingis had a really good season so far. I mean, he still missed games. He missed around 22 games, I believe. But he had a good season. There was about an 8-game stretch there where he was averaging where he was scoring above 25 points every game. This season, Porzingis is averaging 19.2 points, 7.7 rebounds, and 2 assists. So basically this is looked at as a salary dump. Now, the reason why me as a Mavericks fan, the reason why I don't like that explanation here is because Dallas actually got $7 million more in salary. You know, Davis Bertans is still owed around $80 million. Spencer Dinwiddie is owed around $55 million. So, you know, I don't know if I like that as an explanation, it being a salary dump. But the theory is, from what I'm seeing from Tim McMahon, Brad Townsend, guys like that in Dallas, is that, you know, the Mavericks are viewing it as, well, you know, they traded Porzingis, who's a $35-plus million guy a year, and in return, they get these two guys. One is getting paid $18 million. The other one's getting paid around $20 million. So the idea is that it's a lot easier to move two, you know, kind of high mid-level contracts compared to trying to trade one really high-level contract. But yeah, this is, I don't know how I feel about that. You know, the really appalling thing here is, you know, this is the Mavericks taking a step back. The Mavs were playing really well. Now, an argument that can be said, you know, the Mavericks with Porzingis have won about 59% of their games with Porzingis. Now, without Porzingis and only with Luka, the Mavs have won 60%. So the Mavs are actually considered slightly better without Porzingis. Now, you can also make the, the Mavs are obviously, they were fed up with Porzingis and his injuries. I can tell you that firsthand because I'm a Mavs fan. And, you know, I had to see that all the time. And it got really, really annoying. And right now, Porzingis actually has a bone bruise. And that was something that was alarming to the Mavericks front office. You know, it's not a secret. Porzingis is probably around about maybe one big injury away from not being in the league anymore. So, and he's still got 3 years left on his contract. So, you know, the Mavs, the way they look at it is, you know, we get out of this contract and, you know, we try it out with Dinwiddie and Bertans. Now, look, Bertans was a career 42% three-point shooter. Now this season he is shooting horribly. He's shooting around 30%. But the couple of years prior, you know, just a year ago, Bertans was shooting, like I said, 42% from three. So, you know, he's a good 3-point shooter. He's just not in a groove this season. Now Spencer Dinwiddie, he is shooting around 31% from three. So also not very good, but he is coming back from an ACL injury. Now, one thing is, the Mavs did need another ball handler. They only really had Luka and Brunson who could create their own shots and create shots for others. Now they have Spencer Dinwiddie. And also it said that Dinwiddie is looked at as insurance for if Jalen Brunson doesn't re-sign in Dallas. So, you know, if Brunson decides to leave, Dallas still has a ball handler and not just Luka. So, you know, it's an interesting trade. We're going to have to see how it goes. I'm not very optimistic myself, but, you know, we'll see what happens. The Mavericks front office said that they were done in regards to, you know, messing with the roster. They were asked if they were going to, you know, compete in the buyout. They said no. They said that this was the final roster. Again, as a Mavericks fan, I hope that is not the case because the Mavs have zero centers. The bigs that the Mavs have now are just Dwight Powell, Maxi Kleba, Marquese Chriss, who was signed after signing three 10-day contracts with the Mavs. But yeah, they have no elite bigs. They have no really decent bigs at all other than Dwight Powell. If Dwight Powell gets injured, the Mavs are in big trouble. We're going to have to see Dorian Finney-Smith, who's around 6'8". We're going to have to see him playing the five, and I don't know how that's going to go. Also, shout out to Dorian Finney-Smith. Speaking of him, he signed a four-year, $55 million extension with the Mavericks. And again, I am a Mavericks fan, and seeing Dorian Finney-Smith sign that contract is absolutely beautiful. This guy was undrafted. He came to the Mavs, and every year he improved. And he's one of those guys, he knows his role. He doesn't try to do more than, you know, he's expected to do. He's our best defender. Really, he's our most consistent three-point shooter this season. He's our most versatile defender on top of being our best. And he's a great locker room guy. Luka Doncic loves Dorian Finney-Smith. So, you know, he's a great player to have. He's a 3-and-D guy, which is really the most valuable position in the NBA today, other than, you know, superstars. So this was a good move by Dallas signing him. So really now what's really left for Dallas to work on is to re-sign Jalen Brunson in the offseason. But again, if he doesn't go, you know, if he doesn't resign in Dallas, Dallas at least has Spencer Dinwiddie as a backup ball handler is, you know, the idea behind that anyways. But yeah, so Washington, they get Kristaps Porzingis. You know, he's going to be alongside Bradley Beal. Although, I've said this time and time again, and now actually the media is starting to say it finally, even though I've been saying it for a while. Bradley Beal also has to sign his $250 million Supermax extension in the offseason for Washington. And if I was Washington, I would trade Bradley Beal really fast. I do not want to be paying Bradley Beal that much. You know, the Bradley Beal experiment is over. You know, if you run Washington, you got to say this Bradley Beal experiment is over. It didn't work. They had basically like two playoff seasons, one of them where they were, you know, actually, you know, competitive in the playoffs. You know, before you, you know, give all this money to a guy who's going to be getting older, this season he has not played as well. You know, trade him. I guarantee you Washington will get some really, really nice return for Bradley Beal. So, you know, they're rebuilding right now. They have younger guys. Obviously, they got the Laker young guys in Kuzma, KCP, Montrezl Harrell, who actually just got traded as well. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit down the road. But, yeah, so Washington really, you know, they need to do something about that Beal situation. But, yeah, so they have Kristaps Porzingis. I wish the best of luck to Kristaps Porzingis. He was – I always rooted for him. Unfortunately, it just did not work out. Okay, so yeah, so let's take a quick break and listen to our sponsors, and we will be right back. Okay, and we are back. So next up, we have a very interesting trade that happened prior to February 10th, which was the trade between the Pacers and the Kings. So this was a really interesting trade. So the Kings, they get Domantas Sabonis, Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, a 2023 second round pick. In return, the Pacers get Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. First of all, what the hell are the Kings doing? Domantas Sabonis is a great player, but Tyrese Haliburton, I could make the argument that he's already a better player than Domantas Sabonis. Tyrese Haliburton was the franchise guy for Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox is not having a good season. He has potential. I'm sure if De'Aaron Fox got sent to another team that has any resemblance to stability in the franchise, I'm sure that De'Aaron Fox would, you know, play better. But Tyrese Haliburton was the guy. You know, it's his second year in the league. He is the best distributor that was on the Kings. His shooting has not been as good this season, but, you know, I'm sure he'll get it back. But really, this guy is young. He's smart. He has a great basketball IQ. He knows what to do at the end of games. He makes the right decisions. And that is the biggest difference between De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton, is the fact that De'Aaron Fox, not only is he not a good shooter, but De'Aaron Fox makes horrible decisions at the end of the game. Almost Russell Westbrook level decisions at the end of games. So I just don't get this. You know, Sacramento, they're obviously known for being a dumpster fire franchise, and this just seals the deal. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton, like I said, was the franchise guy, and they traded him. They chose De'Aaron Fox over Tyrese Haliburton. That's all I got to say about the Kings. Now, the Pacers, they got a great guy in Tyrese Haliburton, a guy that can, who's reliable, first of all. Malcolm Brogdon, he's a great player. But, you know, he's not really, he's a very Spurs-esque type of player, Malcolm Brogdon. You know, he makes the right decisions. He's a great rebounder, a great passer. He can score. But he's one of those guys that you almost kind of forget that's on the court. But he'll get you your 20 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. That's Malcolm Brogdon for you. But the bad part for Brogdon is that he's very injury prone. And Haliburton so far has been dependable. So I think that, you know, I would come to expect that the Pacers are going to trade Malcolm Brogdon here in the offseason. You know, Haliburton, I think he's going to do really well with a guy like Miles Turner on the team. But most importantly, I think he's going to do well with a Rick Carlisle type of coach. The Pacer fans are already ecstatic to have him. And, you know, Domantas Sabonis, he's a great player. You know, he's one of those guys, one of those bigs who, he's one of the best passers in the NBA when it comes to bigs. He'll get you 20, 25 points a game. He'll get you 10 rebounds. He'll get you at least, you know, 5 assists a game, at least 4 as a big. That's great passing. But, you know, he's not a great shooter. Not a good 3-point shooter, that's for sure. But, you know, so it's just a questionable decision by the Kings. I just don't know what they're doing. You know, it feels like they've been rebuilding for the past 15 years while not rebuilding. It's like they're rebuilding, but they haven't realized that they're rebuilding, if that makes any sense. And it was said that they made this decision to trade for Domantas Sabonis because they really want to get that 10th seed. You know, they want to get into play. And, you know, if that doesn't scream mediocrity, I don't know what does. Why would you do – you're risking your franchise – you're giving up your franchise player to get a guy in Sabonis who's a great player, but you're doing this to make the play-in. I mean, come on. That's just bad. I looked at the Sacramento Kings Reddit. I looked at Sacramento Kings Twitter. Everyone was just losing their minds at how stupid of a move this was. It's just idiotic. I don't know. I'm almost appalled. I don't know what to say. And not only that, but the Kings also sent Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, the guy who ever since he got into the NBA, he's been top 5 in 3-point shooting percentage every year since he joined the NBA. And they gave Tristan Thompson. You know, he's not a great player, but, you know, he'll scrap for those rebounds. You know, he's a solid big with championship experience. So, you know, I just don't know what to say. Jeremy Lin was a nice addition, at least. The Kings get that. And they got Justin Holiday. So, you know, kudos to them for that, but giving up Tyrese Haliburton, that's just awful. Whoops, sorry. I don't know what they're thinking there. Anyways, let's keep moving. Now, I think this is the most underrated move in all of the trade deadline was a trade done between the Celtics and the Spurs. So the Celtics, they send Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford, and a 2022 first-round pick to San Antonio. And San Antonio, in return, they send Derek White. Now, I love this trade for the Celtics, Derek White. You know, this hasn't been his best season, but we've seen Derek White. If you remember a couple of years ago, Derek White in the playoffs, he was fantastic. He was scoring like crazy, scoring 30, 40 points, what seemed like every game in the playoff series. Derek White at his best is great. And the one thing that the Boston Celtics needed was a point guard. And, you know, Derek White does that well. He's a good distributor. He's not great, but he's solid. And he can be above average. So they get that. And, you know, Derek White is one of those point guards that kind of does a little bit of everything. You know, he's a guard, but he can get rebounds, obviously assists. He can score. And, you know, really he just takes pressure off of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which to me is the most important thing. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how Derek White and Marcus Smart are played. You know, Derek White is also a really good defender. So that's going to be fun to watch. But, yeah, this was probably the most underrated move in the whole trade deadline. I think that Derek White does make Boston better. How much better? I don't know. As of tonight, the Celtics have won 8 games in a row. So, you know, they have gotten lucky with their schedule in those 8 games. For instance, a couple nights ago, they played Detroit with no Cade Cunningham. So it's kind of been games like that. The Celtics have been winning, but they're winning. Prior to this 8-game winning streak, the Celtics had not won more than 3 games in a row. So, you know, they're on a nice trajectory right now. But yeah, Derek White was a great addition. In return, they send Josh Richardson, who has really been a 41% 3-point shooter, which is infuriating for me as a Mavericks fan, because when Josh Richardson was on the Mavs, he couldn't make a shot to save his life. So it's really kind of infuriating to see him thrive in Boston. Now he's going to go to San Antonio. The Celtics send Romeo Langford, who has been a project for them, who just never seemed to work out, never seemed to get the minutes. And when he would get the minutes, he just didn't impress. Now, something that does hurt, though, is that Boston sent a first-round pick in this upcoming draft. So that does sting a little bit. But, you know, they got a solid guy in Derek White, and I think that he's really going to help. I think, most importantly, Derek White is going to help the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown situation, which has been questioned. And even to the point that this season, Boston was looking at trade ideas for Jaylen Brown. And if I was in the front office, I would do whatever it takes to keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum together. So I think that this is a great step towards that. I think that Derek White is really going to help, and I think the Boston Celtics made a great trade in regards to that. So kudos to Boston there. They really made a great decision. So next we are going to see another big trade, which happened between the New Orleans Pelicans and the Portland Trailblazers. So the New Orleans Pelicans, they get CJ McCollum, Larry Nance Jr., and Tony Snell. And the Blazers get Josh Hart, Didi Luzada, a 2022 first-round pick, which is protected, a 2026 second-round pick, which is a swap, and a 2027 second-round pick, which is also a swap. So it's time to say goodbye to CJ McCollum in Portland. The CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard project, it just never worked out. They were a fun team to watch. They made the playoffs, but they were just never a real contender. They did make it to the Western Conference Finals a couple of years ago, but that's as far as it went. And when they did get there, they got swept. So, you know, it was just not a good team because, you know, just Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, them being the best players, you know, it was all guard oriented, obviously, and their defense was atrocious. Now the Blazers did get a great player in Josh Hart. He's a good young player. Not scared to take shots, and he'll give you 20 points a game. So good for him. And they did get the first round pick and 2 second round picks. So the Blazers are certainly rebuilding. They're looking at this coming offseason to make some moves. But this is also, apart from getting Josh Hart and getting off of CJ McCollum, they really, it was all about salaries. They wanted to shed salary by sending not just CJ, but Larry Nance and Tony Snell. So, you know, the Blazers are looking to the future. You know, they finally gave in and threw in the towel on the whole CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard thing. Damian Lillard is out right now with the abdomen injury. And he is expected to be out probably the rest of the season. So, yeah, the Blazers, they finally, like I said, they're just looking to the future and looking to do something here in the offseason coming up in hopes of keeping Damian Lillard. So good for them. And actually, ever since they made this trade, Blazers have won two in a row. So good for them. Now, also, this is a great move for New Orleans, getting CJ McCollum, Larry Nance, and Tony Snell. Obviously, Zion Williamson has been out. Zion Williamson has to sign his extension here in this offseason, which I have no doubts that Zion is going to do. Zion, he's been so injured ever since he got in the NBA. In my opinion, he has no other decision to make. He has to sign this extension because you don't know, you know, if he's going to get injured again. And if he gets injured again, is he going to be, will that be the last injury and he won't be in the NBA anymore? So, yeah, he has to guarantee his money in the long term. But, yeah, so this was great. Now the Pelicans, whenever they're healthy, they're going to have Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, and CJ McCollum as their big three, which is going to be fun to watch, especially if Zion is back at 100%. So good on New Orleans. There seems to be signs of life at the Pelicans organization. David Griffin, after doing horrible trade, horrible move after horrible move, it seems that he has made a good trade. So good on the Pelicans. It's going to be fun to watch. They have been looking better as of late, and they're going to be one of those teams that are going to start, you know, fighting for wins and being in the play-in, possibly even playoff picture. So good for the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, next, we have a trade. Well, really, it's a three-team trade. Between the Jazz, the Blazers, and the Spurs. So the Jazz, they get, in return, they get Nickeil Alexander-Walker from Portland, and they get Juancho Hernangómez. Now, Nickeil Alexander-Walker was in New Orleans, but he got traded to Portland, and now he is in Utah. The Blazers, they get Joe Ingles, who tore his ACL. They get Elijah Hughes and a second-round pick. And the Spurs get Tomas Satoransky and a second-round pick. Now, Joe Ingles said that he will continue playing. He is not even thinking about retirement. Obviously, he won't play this season and part of next season as well. But, you know, when he's in, when he is healthy, he is a solid player to have. So Portland got a really solid player in Joe Ingles. He's a good rebounder. He's a great passer, and he can shoot. So, you know, it's going to be really fun to watch him alongside Damian Lillard. The Spurs, they get Tomas Satoransky in that second-round pick. So Tomas Satoransky is kind of a veteran, so he gets to go, you know, be a vet for those young guys. And, you know, he's a solid backup point guard to back up DeJounte Murray. And, you know, the Jazz, they get Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's a shooter, and Juancho Hernangómez. So that is going to be fun as well. Also, talking about the Spurs had another trade where they sent Thaddeus Young, Drew Eubanks, a 2022 second round pick to the Raptors, and the Spurs in return got Goran Dragic and a 2022 first round pick. This trade was all about that first round pick because the Spurs are expected to buy out Goran Dragic here in the next week or so. Goran Dragic, there's rumblings that teams interested in him are the Bucks seem to be the number one contender, the Heat. So those are the first teams that are considered favorites to sign him. So that is going to be interesting to watch. It's been said all season that Goran Dragic was going to be bought out and sent to Dallas. But Dallas getting Spencer Dinwiddie, and Dallas really what they need is a big. It's expected that Dallas will not go after Goran Dragic. So we have to keep an eye out on what Goran Dragic is going to do. But yeah, so the Spurs, they get that first round pick from the Raptors to help their rebuild. And the Raptors get Thaddeus Young, who is a quality big and a veteran presence who can teach those young guys. They get Drew Eubanks, who's another big, solid big, you know, probably going to get around 15 minutes a game, something like that in Toronto. He can shoot, you know, he's a solid big who can get them rebounds and that second round pick. So that's a good deal there. Speaking of the Celtics as well, and the Spurs and really the Spurs have been really busy, and they usually don't make in-season trades, and they were really busy here in this deadline. But anyways, the Celtics, they sent Dennis Schroeder, Enes Freedom, and Bruno Fernando to San Antonio in return for Daniel Tice. So Celtics, really what they did here, they, you know, Dennis Schroeder was not very happy in Boston. And really, he's a one-year guy because after this season, he's expected, well, he has to sign. He's going to be a free agent, and he's looking for money. And so Boston, they don't think that they're the team to sign him, so they went ahead and traded him. And, you know, he can be a good veteran for the young Rockets and Jalen Green mostly. So, yeah, but the Celtics, they get Daniel Tice, who did not have a good season at all in Houston, but, you know, he had a great career in Boston. So the Celtics are, you know, looking to revive Tice and see what they can do there. Now, there was a three-team, actually, scratch that, there was a four-team trade between the Bucks, the Clippers, the Bucks, Clippers, Kings, and Pistons. So the Bucks, they get Serge Ibaka. They get a second-round pick via Sacramento, a second-round pick via Detroit, and they get cash considerations. The Clippers, they get Rodney Hood, Semi Ojeleye, and Vanya Marinkovic. Sacramento, they get Dante DiVincenzo from Milwaukee. They get Josh Jackson, Trey Lyles, David Michenow, and a second-round pick. And Detroit, they get Marvin Bagley. Now, actually, I think this was a really nice move by Sacramento for once. They get Dante DiVincenzo from the Bucks. Dante, who just wasn't able to have that same kind of role that he had last season before he got injured. But, you know, he's a solid guard for Sacramento. He's a young guy. He can shoot. He has some nice defense. And some toughness. So I think that he's going to help Sacramento. Too bad for him that he has to go to the black hole that is Sacramento, but great move for them. The Bucks, I really like this move for them, getting Serge Ibaka. Serge Ibaka was injured. He came back this season. He didn't look good, but these last, you know, what, eight games, Serge Ibaka has looked nice. You know, he's been rebounding, he's been defending, he's been, you know, shooting well. So I think that he's going to be really good. And really, he's more insurance for me for like a Bobby Portis. you know, in case Bobby Port, you know, Brook Lopez also has been out all season. He's expected to be out the rest of the season. So, you know, it's just another big for Milwaukee. And, you know, if, God forbid, knock on wood, if anything happens to, you know, someone like Bobby Portis, Serge Ibaka is going to be a guy who can step in and fill that role. So really, really smart move there. And the Clippers, they get Rodney Hood, who's a, you know, a good, decent shooter, and Semi Ojeleye, not much to talk about there. And Vanya Marinkovic is really young guys, not much to talk about there. But really, it was more of a salary dump for the Clippers. They get off Serge Ibaka. But yeah, really out of that trade, I think the winner was Sacramento getting Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Jackson, who's a, you know, an interesting young guy. And also they get off of Marvin Bagley, finally. You know, Marvin Bagley has not been happy. He demanded a trade like a year ago, and finally Sacramento decided to trade him, so he's going to Detroit. So that's going to be interesting to watch. So I think that was a solid trade, mostly for the Bucks and Sacramento. And then the next big trade that I want to talk about, well, actually two more, and then we're done. The Clippers. They made a trade with the Blazers. So the Clippers, they get Norman Powell and Robert Covington. While the Blazers get Eric Bledsoe, Justice Winslow, Keon Johnson, and 2025 second round pick. First of all, the Clippers fleeced Portland. Norman Powell, who's an excellent young guard, he can shoot. He can get you threes. He's a solid defender, not great, but you know he gets the job done. But you know he's a guy who can give you 20 points a game. And considering that all that the Clippers had to send out was Eric Bledsoe's horrible contract, along with Justice Winslow, who can't seem to stay on the court due to injuries. Keon Johnson, he was a young guy, but, you know, he's too young for the Clippers. The Clippers want to be contenders, and Keon Johnson just isn't going to be able to get solid minutes there. And a 2025 second-round pick, I think that was a great trade for the Clippers. Also, you know, the Blazers, they also get off of Norman Powell's and Robert Covington's money, considering Eric Bledsoe was an expiring. So it's Justice Winslow. So the Blazers cleared up cap space. That's really the most important thing for them. Like I said, now they're going to have, you know, wiggle room in the offseason to try and build a good team around Damian Lillard in hopes of keeping him. But yeah, the Clippers, they get Norman Powell, who's a reliable shooter and scorer. Like I said, he can get you around 18 to 20 points a game. And Robert Covington, who's mostly a defender now. He's not a good on-ball defender, but he's a great off-ball defender. And he adds size to the Clippers. So really, really solid, especially considering next season when Kawhi and Paul George come back, having Norman Powell alongside them as well. They're going to be a really scary team. And finally, the last trade that I want to talk about is the Cavs and the Pacers. So Cleveland, they sent Ricky Rubio, 2022 first-round pick, and a 2022 second-round pick. Well, actually, two 2022 second round picks, one from Houston, one from Utah. So the Cavs are sending that to the Pacers, while the Pacers send Caris LeVert and a 2022 second round pick via the Heat. So really great trade for Cleveland. You know, adding another score to them, making them, you know, the Cleveland are a sleeper in the Eastern Conference. You know, right now I believe they're the fourth seed. But you know, this makes them even scarier. They have better scoring now with Caris LeVert, Ricky Rubio, who was injured. So Caris LeVert is a really, really nice addition for Cleveland. And watch out, Eastern Conference, because Cleveland is officially, I think, at least a low-level contender. You know, Cleveland's at least going to the second round in the playoffs. especially after this move. So yeah, with Ricky Rubio, who was injured, Colin Sexton, who was injured, Cleveland adding Caris LeVert is a really solid deal. And then the Pacers, you know, getting Ricky Rubio, who, like I said, is injured. But, you know, they get the first round pick and two second round picks. So good for the Pacers there. And really, that's all I have for you guys today. There were a couple other trades, but kind of minimum trades, you know, cash consideration, second round pick type trades. But yeah, so again, I do apologize for my voice today. But hopefully next week when I post a new episode, hopefully my voice will be 100% back. But yeah, as usual, guys, hit us up on Twitter. Our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. Again, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, shoot us a DM, mention us on Twitter, whatever you have to do to get our attention, and we will address whatever comment or question you have. We will address that on the next episode. But yeah, other than that, guys, thank you so much for listening to me. Keep an eye out, because like I said, I'm going to be posting on the regular. So next week, I will be posting a new episode, probably on Monday. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja. Thank you for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Have a good night, everyone.